The talk you're about to listen to is a presentation of Penn State Crew. To find out more about Penn State Crew, or to find more talks, music, and videos, check out PennStateCrew.org.
Okay, this evening, I'm going to talk on prayer, all right? Prayer is going to be our subject. Now, here's the thing. I don't think any, is there anyone in here who just, if you, you know, if someone asks you, would say, yeah, you know what? My prayer life is awesome. I have a great prayer life. Does anyone feel that way about their prayer life? Who are you? Anyone? I don't think anyone feels really good about their prayer. You know, somehow there's always more you can do. There's always more you can be praying. I don't think anyone feels that great about their prayer life. I sense even in my own life, there are different periods of time where it ebbs and flows, where if you ask me, I'd say, man, no, I really haven't been praying that much recently. And then other times, yeah, I feel like I'm spot on and things are going well. I think I'm somewhere in between as I come to you tonight. You know, I think I'm doing okay, but I'm not like, I got all these great stories of how I was up all night praying that I just can't wait to share with you. So this evening, we're going to focus on prayer, and I want to start with a passage. It's not usually a passage we associate with prayer, but I think there's some significant implications. Can we get, is it possible to get Mark up there? Oh, man, my soda. Keep an eye on that. Okay. All right, let me read this to you real quick. Okay, that day, this should be a familiar story, right, where Jesus calms the sea. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Okay, now the secret or the key to this passage is understanding why is Jesus asleep? Why is Jesus asleep? Anyone want to take a shot at it? What's that? He wasn't worried. That is true. Anything else? He was preaching all day, not worry. Saw some cushion. Yeah. Good insight into the text. Amazing how you're able to pull that out of that passage. Okay, here it is. You ready? Here's the secret to this passage, okay? Mark's gospel, the theme of Mark's gospel is really the new Exodus, okay? You'll hear phrases on the way, on the way, on the way, which is really phrases you'll hear in the story of the Exodus, on their way to the promised land, on their way to the promised land. And so Mark's gospel really kind of follows this flow of an Exodus, okay? We're moving kind of on the way to the kingdom. And Mark will constantly reference the same 12 to 15 chapters in the book of Isaiah because those chapters in the book of Isaiah are called the New Exodus, okay? So it underscores his theme. And so over and over as you go through the Gospel of Mark, you should have a finger in Isaiah 45 through about 60, okay? Just have a finger there because he's always referencing back. Now, with that in mind, in Isaiah 51, Israel is pleading with God. They feel like he's abandoned them. And this is what they say. Wake up. Wake up. Put on your strength, O Lord. Wake up. God responds back to them in chapter 52. You wake up. You wake up. Put on your strength, Israel. This is the backdrop to the passage. Israel saying, where are you, God? Where are you? You seem like you're sleeping. Are you awake? Wake up. And God says to Israel, I'm not the one who's sleeping. You are. And if you go back to the passage, it is the disciples who need to wake up. And if you look at the end of the passage, at the very end, they say what? It's like they're waking up from a dream. Who is this? Who is this that even the way, it's like they're just kind of, my God, where did you come from? Are you God? I mean, and that's implied in the text, isn't it? And all of a sudden, they see Jesus for who he really is. They see him as he calms the sea. They look at each other and they look at him and they say, "Oh my gosh, who is this guy?" And they're awake. It is not Jesus who is asleep, it is them. Now, in our lives, I think there's a sense that all of us feel in different ways that we go through our days asleep to some degree. I mean, what do I mean by that? If you ever go to like Starbucks or whatever and it asks you, do you want to be online? And I don't know, there's engineers here. I was wondering this the other day, are there really like images going through my body on Wi-Fi? Like if I'm sitting there and someone sends a document, is it going through me? Please, someone tell me the answer to this. It is? That's cool. Well, if you think about it, here you are, you're sitting in Starbucks, and there's this whole world going on. Documents are passing through your head. My gosh. And you know what? You can be asleep to it, or you can go online, can't you? I mean, it's your choice, but there's a price to be paid if you want to get online, typically. And so it is each day. I mean, we all have a choice, don't we, whether we're kind of, in a sense, spiritually online, right? Whether we're awake, listening as we go throughout our day, or whether we, in a sense, aren't online at all. Now, in this text, here's what I want you to see. Being awake is equivalent to seeing Jesus for who he really is. Being awake, when the disciples wake up, they see Jesus for who he really is. Now, there are three things that we see in this text, or that I think we can tease out of this text, about what's true of Jesus, about what it means to see Jesus or the reality of Jesus. And I think those things have implications on our prayer life. And I think that there's three components that goes with that in terms of our prayer. Let me pray, because we haven't done that, and then let me go back to our passage, okay? Father, thank you for our time tonight, and I pray that you would bless my words. I pray that I'd be clear as I speak, and I pray that you would speak to us, that it wouldn't just be me saying things, but that you would have something to say to each of us. Amen. Okay. Being awake is seeing Jesus as he really is. Prayer is how we experience the reality of Jesus. Being awake is seeing Jesus as he really is. Prayer is how we experience the reality of Jesus. Now, here's the first thing we see in the text. They're running to Jesus, panicked. They're over their heads. There's nothing they can do. They are seeing their finitude, their gaps, their inabilities, their humanness. Seeing the reality of Jesus is seeing who we are in our weakness and in our fallenness. When we see who Jesus really is, it brings to our mind how much we need him, how reliant we are upon him. And here's the first implication in terms of prayer. That's reliance. When you think of your prayer life, you should think about relying on the Lord throughout the day. Not just a quiet time in the morning, but throughout the day. Years ago, I used to work in an advertising agency, and one of the accounts we had was Philip Morris. And the guy who worked across the hall from me did all the cigarette ads, and for Kool and Marlboro and all those things. And he was a genius. I mean, an evil genius, obviously. But he was a guy who came up with the idea of associating cigarettes with all of these wonderful outdoor activities that you really can't do when you're smoking. I mean, that was his. I mean, everyone's like swimming. Who swims with a cigarette in their mouth, right? Volleyball. I mean, hey, look at cigarette ads. It's insane. But think of the genius there. He wants people to think, oh gosh, I need exercise. I need to be outdoors. Give me a cigarette. He wants people to make that connection in their head. Anyway, his name was Bob, and he used to smoke like a chimney all day. If you talk to Bob, nervous guy, anytime he needed to think, he'd light up, smoke. I don't know, Rick. I don't know. I don't know. He's a cranky old man. I don't know. If he wanted to be thoughtful, he'd light up. If he was worried, he'd light up all day long. He's just lighting up. I don't know how many, probably 2-3 packs a day. But if you look at that mechanism, all of us have a mechanism like that, right? I mean, whether it's coffee, or actually for me, I would usually drink a Diet Pepsi, although I just switched to Fresca. Fresca is a delicious grapefruit beverage, isn't it? All day long, worried, need a Fresca. Anxious, need a Fresca. Fresca is the answer. I just wanted to tell you, Fresca is the answer to life this evening. Fresca is life. It's grapefruit and it's a soda. It's unbelievable. All of us, whether it's coffee, whether it's cigarettes, all of us have a mechanism, and the mechanism is reliance. All of us feel these thirsts and needs that come up throughout the day, and all of us have, in a sense, cultivated certain habit patterns where we turn to things to meet that fix, right? Well, that mechanism is supposed to be satisfied in the Lord, that throughout the day you're smoking at least a pack of Jesus a day. Really, going throughout your day, it's like, Jesus, I need wisdom right now. Lord, I need help. Lord, please be with me. I don't know what to say. Or, Lord, comfort me. Be with me right now. I mean, it's what, 7:30? You guys should have already smoked several packs already. I mean, you should have relied on the Lord throughout the day for any number of things. All day long, smoking. Watch a smoker. That's what you should be. All day long, turning to the Lord. Reliant. Mechanism, thirst, Lord, okay? That's the first component of prayer, is this life of continuous reliance, all day long, relying on the Lord, coming to Him with your thirst. Here's the second thing. Seeing the reality of Jesus is seeing who He truly is in His power and His strength. He calms the sea, and they see who He is. This is God. Jesus can do anything. And that informs our prayer life. If seeing Jesus as He truly is makes us reliant, constantly relying on Him, seeing Jesus in all of His power makes us realize that He can do anything. You know, all of us, I think, have these two messages that are constantly shoved down our throat every single day. One is randomness. I mean, if you watch the news, I was watching the news, actually, that was this morning, and, you know, I just turn it on for a second, and some woman killed her 3-year-old son, okay? Now, there's no context. There's no context to the news, is there? I don't know the story. I don't know what her deal was. I don't know why. I don't know whether she had a mental illness. I don't know whether she was angry. I don't know how God was at work in that. I don't know whether she went to church. I don't know anything. And guess what? Without context, without any narrative, the only message the news can tell you loud and clear is life is random. Because there's no meaning. There's no reason for anything. You have no context. You have no idea how God is at work in anything. All day long, life is random. Life is random. Or determinate. Determinism is just everywhere. You know, in other words, determinism in the sense that I can't make a difference. You know, that's why we have politicians right now saying, change, change. Why change? Because we all feel powerless, like we can't change anything. We all feel like this is how it is. What are you going to do about it? I mean, I hate taxes, but what are you going to do about it? I hate how much Penn State costs, but what are you going to do about it? I hate all my homework, but, you know, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about anything? Feel powerless. And the pull of these things, randomness, determinism, you know what it does? It weighs down our prayer life and our sense of expectancy. And when we see Jesus as He truly is, in His power and His strength, It brings us back in a focus of our eyes and the trajectory of our prayer of, oh, you can change anything. This doesn't have to be how it is. You can do whatever you want. The word reality, our English word reality, appears twice in the scripture. Same book of the Bible, Hebrews. It's interesting. Hebrews chapter 12, it says, faith is the reality. Actually, the Greek word is ontos, ontology, ontological reality, how things are. Hebrews 12 says, faith is the ontos, the reality of things hoped for, not seen, right? Hebrews chapter 1, Jesus is the image of God, the reality of the Father. Jesus, twice, Jesus is reality. Jesus defines reality, not your circumstances. Jesus defines reality. Things could look dead, could look like your friends are never going to come to Christ or nothing can be changed about this person, but Jesus defines reality, not circumstances, not randomness, not determinism. Jesus says what is and what is not. Jesus defines reality. And so the second aspect of our prayer life is this. I think it is critical not only to rely on the Lord throughout the day, I think it is essential for us to be praying big prayers. Big prayers that glorify God. Big prayers that say, Lord Jesus, I think you can do anything. I don't think that you're determined. I don't think that you're limited by circumstances. I really think you can do anything. And to have that sort of expectancy and not let randomness and determinism just erode our sense of expectancy, our sense of that God can do anything. And it's amazing. If you see like prayer and revival, you'll notice the biggest difference is the sense of expectancy and the power of prayer. There's a sense that people just believe the Lord can do anything. He could transform this dorm, this campus. He can do it, and I believe it. When we say, you know, God can, it just seems like it's a contraction for, you know, God can, but I don't think he's gonna. Jesus can do anything. And here's the third thing. The disciples, when Jesus is asleep, what do they say? They say, don't you care about us? To see Jesus as he is, reality, is to see our incredible need and reliance for him. It's to see his power, that he can do anything. He is God incarnate. Okay? And third, it's to see that he loves you. The disciples say, don't you care about us? To see Jesus as he is to see his love as it is. To see that he really does love you. And all of us would say, yes, I know that God loves me. But see, there's a difference between whether you believe that God loves you or whether you think he likes you. Whether he likes you or not could depend on whether you've been sinning this week. I mean, he loves you no matter what, but do you really feel that way? Do you really see the reality of his love? See, it's shaded, but, you know, how are you doing? Are you sinning? Did you have a lousy father who wasn't nice to you? I mean, all those things shade how you see God. It keeps you from seeing Jesus as loving you in truth and reality. You think he doesn't like you. You start to suspect that he doesn't like you. And that's not true. It's a lie. And so I think the third aspect of prayer that's essential is to saturate ourselves in the presence of the Lord. When we are in God's presence, Satan cannot lie to us and tell us that he does not love us. We experience him, and because we experience him, we know him, and we know he loves us. We are surrounded in his presence and his love, and you cannot tell me when I'm surrounded by his presence that he doesn't love me, because I'll know you're a liar. Now, here's what I'd like you to see. Worship is not just singing, okay? Worship is saturation, okay? It's a cycle. And it functions the same way no matter what it is, whether it's evangelism, thanksgiving, worship always functions the same way. Picture this, okay? Picture your soul. Picture the geography of your soul like an English muffin, okay? It's like a sponge. All right, we were all made to be saturated with something, okay? You know, you look around, you see people who are greedy, lustful, you know, you name it. You say, why do people do those things? Because their soul is a sponge, and they need to be saturated, so they find something to saturate themselves with. The greedy person saturates himself with money. The lustful person saturates himself with lust. The worrying person saturates themselves with worry, as long as they're saturated. And that which they pour their life out into pours back into them. It's always a cycle. It's always a cycle. We long to be saturated. We were created to worship. Our souls are a sponge made for wringing and absorption. Okay? Now, very simply, here's how this looks. Follow the cycle. During the day, confession. Okay? I was cleaning out the kitchen recently. Apparently, there are two kitchen sponges. One is for dishes. The other is for mayonnaise or cleaning schmutz off of the counter, whatever. Okay. Now, I was using the schmutz thing for the dishes, and I'm wiping the thing off, and my wife comes in and says, "So what are you doing?" So I'm doing the dishes. She's like, "You can't use that sponge for the dishes." So why not? She goes, wring it out. And I squeeze it, and out came like the bubonic plague. This is the most disgusting thing I'd ever seen. Point made. Okay, yeah, no. I won't use that sponge ever again. All right. Confession is squeezing the sponge out. Notice that now the mechanism, it's a cycle. Oh, Lord. See, I'm pouring myself out to the Lord like a sponge, okay? Lord, I did this, and I sinned, and I was worrying, and I was lustful. See, I'm pouring myself out, but as I pour myself out, the Lord pours back into me and saturates me. And that causes me to overflow, and then I pour back into the Lord, and see, it's a cycle. See, the same thing with thanksgiving, all right? You start off slow. Oh, Lord, thanks that I have feet. Lord, thanks. Thanks for the day. Thanks that I have a head. And you keep going, right? So you keep thanking, but now, see, it's like a pump. First it's a drip, then all of a sudden it starts going. Then all of a sudden you're like, yeah, thanks for these shoes. And then I'm 45. And I lived another year. And you're thankful. And this could go on because you're getting going. Because you're pouring yourself out to the Lord. You're pouring out. But see, at the same point, he's pouring back in. That's why the more you give thanks, the more you have to. It's a cycle. You pour out to the Lord. He pours back into you. You saturate. You overflow. Keeps going. Same with worship. Oh, Lord, you're so omnipotently benevolent. And you know, you start out. And then before you know it, you're awesome. And you're, you know, you get it going. The cycle gets going. You prime the pump. See, that's worship. When you worship throughout the day, thanksgiving, confession, praising the Lord, you saturate your soul in his presence. You experience his love. And I'll tell you, when you start your day out that way, it's kind of like any time you prime a pump. You can just come right back into once you've tapped it for the day. It's really easy to pick it right back up. You get that pump going in the morning, 5, 6 o'clock in the day, you start to give thanks. You're right back in it. It just flows right away. Prayer. Three components of prayer connected to three realities of seeing who Jesus really is, of waking up. Of being awake and seeing who Jesus is. And the first is reliance. We look to the Lord and we say, oh my gosh, I am so needy. Oh Lord, please give me wisdom right now. Please help me. Please help me to study. Help me to think. Give me thoughts for this. Help me to be patient. Calm me down, Lord. I mean, all day long, smoking your cigarettes, right? That's it. Second, big prayers. Praying and expressing that you believe that God can do anything. Now, it's not like you're dictating to God. The closer you are to God, the more he's able to communicate to your soul, here's what I want you to trust him for, not you saying, this is what I want you to do. Okay? I don't want to confuse you. Never mind. Okay. Second, powerful prayers. Expectant prayers. trusting God for great things because he is the one who calms the sea. He is powerful. He is God. Jesus can do anything. And Jesus is reality, not your circumstances. Your circumstances tell you one thing is reality, and Jesus defines reality. And you come to him and say, it looks like this person can never come to Christ. That's what reality looks like. But your reality, can you change that? And third, as the disciples struggle, don't you care about us? To see Jesus as he truly is to see his love, to really know and experience his love on a daily basis. Not just know it intellectually, but experience it. And that comes from an aspect of prayer that is saturating ourselves in the Lord all day long. Thanksgiving, praise, confession anytime sin arises. As you saturate yourself in the Lord, you are in reality. You are seeing Jesus as he truly is. You are online. You are awake. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time. And I pray, Lord, that each of us, at least in some way, in some aspect of prayer, would be able to make some connections in terms of their walks with you, whether it's being more reliant throughout the day, or whether it's really giving you a massive prayer thing that they've wanted to see happen and really trusting you, praying big prayers for this campus, for their dorm. Or Lord, I pray too that they would saturate and I would saturate. I pray that we would just be prayerful, praying without ceasing, praying without ceasing. Lord, we want to be awake always and at all times to you. Amen.
The talk you have just listened to is a presentation of Penn State Crew. Crew is a community where the gospel captures hearts, transforms lives, and launches men and women into a lifelong adventure with Jesus Christ. To find out more about Penn State Crew, or to find more talks, music, and videos, check out PennStateCrew.org. That's PennStateCRU.org. This talk is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivative Works 3.0 United States license. You are free to copy and distribute this talk to others as long as you do not do it for commercial purposes or alter, transform, or build upon this talk in any way.